One of those broadcast partners that we're talking about, Ken Timmerman. Normally we catch him in the Washington, D.C. area, but this time he's in southern France someplace, a secret location. Well, it's not so secret. He's not going to tell anybody because he's trying to have a little vacation time, and we appreciate him giving us a couple of moments, being available for us to talk to him about some of the activities. Ken, I need to talk to you about what I believe was probably the main headline this week. It was at the top of the headlines for the Drudge Report, head of every Israeli newspaper. President Ahmadinejad, again, radical rhetoric coming from his mouth, being spewed out. He's making the statement that indeed the forces of this world need to come together to annihilate the Jewish state of Israel. Now, if I remember correctly, were you not there in Tehran, Iran, at the time when they overthrew the embassy, and that young man who was kind of leading that group to overthrow the embassy was a guy named Ahmadinejad. He's the same as president today. Am I correct on that?
Well, I was not actually in Tehran at that point, Jimmy. The Iranians have never allowed me to come into their country. I've tried to get a visa over a dozen times, and they have always considered me to be an enemy of the regime because I have stood up for minorities in Iran, for persecuted Christians in Iran, and even for persecuted Muslims in Iran. But I have been following what's going on in that country since 1979, the revolution, as you mentioned, and I have become close to every generation of political exiles who have left the country, some of them within days of them fleeing the persecution of the Islamic Republic.
Do you believe that Ahmadinejad really thinks that he has the capability of mustering the forces of the world to annihilate the Jewish state? Or is that simply radical rhetoric he's spewing out across the world?
Well, it's certainly the rhetoric of this regime, and I would hasten to point out, and I think this is extremely important for our listeners to understand, he is not the only one who says this. The supreme leader, who has far more power than Ahmadinejad has got, says this on a regular basis, Ayatollah Khamenei. In fact, there have been news reports that have come out in Debka file and other places suggesting that the supreme leader held a war council last week warning the top military leaders of the Revolutionary Guards that Iran would be at war within 3 to 4 weeks. Now, it's very difficult to verify this kind of statement. It was made after the Friday prayers last week. But nevertheless, it shows you how tense the situation is and how much the Iranian leadership, the Islamic Republic of Iran leadership, believes that they are fundamentally at war with the rest of the world, not just Israel, but with the Western powers writ large.
I've got to ask you this, Ken, about Leon Panetta, who is the Secretary of Defense in America. He comes into the Middle East. You questioned last time we talked whether that was a good decision to have a visit into the Middle East at this time by Leon Panetta. He went to Egypt. He met with the leadership there. He came into Israel having conversations with the Minister of Defense, with the Prime Minister, Netanyahu, everybody. And I'm sure on the agenda had to be the Iranian situation, and at the same time there was an expert saying that Iran could have a nuclear weapon within the year, and he said if he was an Iranian, he sure wouldn't want to be living in Iran this next year. What are your thoughts about Panetta's visit and their discussion on Iran?
Well, for one thing, I certainly trust Leon Panetta infinitely more than I trust Barack Obama. Leon Panetta is somebody who has been at the center of the United States security apparatus for many years. He was a member of Congress under President Clinton. He was his chief of staff. He understands U.S. Security interests, and he's been at the heart of our intelligence community for many, many years as former director of CIA. And I do not think that he has the anti-Israel animus President Obama has currently. When he says that he would not like to be an Iranian if they had a nuclear weapon in a year from this time, I think he is stating the obvious. Clearly, it's not in Iran's national security interest to have nuclear weapons, especially when they have a leadership that has pitted them against the rest of the world. But I think what they are counting on, and this is what makes fears, I find the most frightening, Jimmy, and the most worrisome. What they are counting on in Tehran is an indecisive American president who cares more about furthering the agenda of radical Islam, whether it be the Iranian form, the Shiite form of Islam, or whether it be the Muslim Brotherhood form of Islam. I fear that they see a weak and indecisive American president on their side in any confrontation with Israel, and that, I think, is the thing we should all be worrying about the most.
Now, Panetta was not only talking about Iran, but I'm sure a focus was over there on Syria and what is developing, that thing deteriorating by the moment. The Syrian crisis seemingly feeding violence in Iraq, the revival of Al-Qaeda. Talk to me about this Syrian crisis and the developments we've even seen this week.
Well, you know, you see Kofi Annan, who was the UN's envoy to Syria, resigning recently and stating the obvious, which is that it was impossible for him to get anything done because of the blockage within the United Nations Security Council. In other words, Russia and Syria, Russia and China, excuse me, having no willingness to go along with UN Security Council resolutions against Syria. There is nothing that will happen from the UN because of the Russian refusal to go along with putting pressure on their client state, Syria. And I think it's time for the United States to kind of wake up and recognize that we have to give some kind of support to the Syrian opposition. But I caution you, and I caution our listeners on this, the Syrian National Council, which is based in Turkey, dominated by Turkey, controlled by the Muslim Brotherhood, favored by the Obama administration, which recently released $25 million to them, this is not the group that we want to see take over Syria. It is an anti-Western, anti-Israel, anti-Christian group that will bring, frankly, doom and gloom to the Middle East.
Yeah, I saw a report this week that the Muslim Brotherhood leadership in that Syrian opposition group wanting to implement an Islamic Republic. In other words, make Sharia the law of the land, the Islamic law, the law of the land for Syria, should they be able to bring down Bashar Assad. That does not look good. You would then have at the north of Israel an Islamic Republic, and probably pretty soon at the south of Israel an Islamic Republic in the two states of Syria and Egypt.
That's right, and don't forget Hamas in the Gaza Strip. And so we have to be careful what we wish for. You hear a lot of people in the United States and in Europe saying we must help the Syrian opposition. Assad is a dictator. All of this is true. He is a dictator. He is a rabid anti-Semite. But he has kept the peace more or less with Israel for the, you know, since he has been in power, and his father did before him. The real fear that I have is a Muslim Brotherhood takeover that would slaughter Christians, that would declare an anti-Jewish and anti-Western jihad, that would unleash Al-Qaeda and give them a new foothold, a new sanctuary state. That, I think, is a much greater worry for us today than even the continuation of the Assad regime. I have no love for Bashar al-Assad. Let's get this very straight, Jimmy. I've said this on this show before. Between Assad and the Muslim Brotherhood, I don't think the United States has a national security interest. We don't want to see either of them in power. So we certainly should not be supporting Assad, but neither should we be supporting the Syrian Revolutionary Council, which is dominated by the Muslim Brotherhood. I think we need to look to the pro-democracy, pro-Western Kurds that you see in the northern part of the country. The Turks hate them because they hate the Kurds in general. I think we need to look to the Christian population, which is under siege again in Syria, as they will be under the Muslim Brotherhood, but not just turn ourselves towards this Free Syrian Army that's run by the Muslim Brotherhood.
What about the Russian Navy? Late reports that they're going to be docking there at that port in Syria. They have some Marines on board. Are they going to get involved in the hands-on operation there in Syria, do you think?
Well, that's going to be interesting to see, and I don't know whether they will play a role on the ground, but they certainly want to defend their foothold in the Mediterranean in Latakia, which is that port on the Syrian coast. The Russians were very happy to get that as a concession from the Assad regime. They would like to maintain their access to that port. My guess is that they are going there predominantly to defend their own interests more even than the interests of the Syrian regime. But we'll have to see. It would be certainly something unprecedented for the Russians to play a role on the ground defending an existing Arab regime in the Middle East. We saw their pilots helping Egypt in the 1960s, but we haven't seen anything like that since then.
Ken Timmerman, he's looking at geopolitical activities for us from his vantage point there in southern France. It's neat to be able to have one of our broadcast partners traveling the world and giving us the reports from wherever we can catch them. Ken, thank you so very much. Have a good time of rest, and we'll talk to you again next week from southern France.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. God bless.